You know what's weird about
why
the intro?
Sound, why does that sound like Will?
It's a lot of the intros we got from you guys were, of course, obviously AI generated because you have no fucking talent. But that one is actually someone singing.
Huh.
So
how do you know?
John, I just heard John say we had to shorten it from down from like 30 seconds to like 4.
Yeah, it was good though.
Wait, play it again.
It's catchy. Good.
It makes me feel like we're watching like PBS and I'm like, I don't know, 5 years old.
Yeah, it's like a bumper, but like when the show comes back from a commercial break.
Yeah. The first question I have for Nigel today, just I think
I have a question.
Right off to the bat, I think we should get down to business. Who did you vote for in the Canadian election?
That's a good question.
You guys had an election?
What's the worst possible name that could come out of your mouth right now?
Hypothetically.
He's
going to get in trouble for saying anything.
Yeah.
There's got to be one candidate that like 99% of people agree would be a bad idea. Or I would say at least.
Okay. So. I think you're putting me in a position, right?
Yeah.
Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
No, because.
Did you vote for Canadian Hitler?
Canadian yes. Mussolini.
I think that this is. Honestly, I think the very, very, very shameful thing.
He's sweating.
Yes. I'm stalling right now.
You're stalling?
You'd be a great politician, Nigel.
No, wait. What? We're 2 minutes
in. It's amazing.
No. We're 2 minutes in. I think I can do this for like, I think I can dodge for another like hour and 30 minutes.
The title is Who Nigel Voted For.
Oh, no. So I have to keep telling stories and just never getting there. No, basically, I was saying what's shameful is that I know way more about American politics than I do Canadian.
Yeah, I didn't even know that you guys had an election.
I didn't either. No, joke. I just think that's shameful. Like, if you ask me, I don't know why. I read about just, you know, I know about more American stuff. Maybe it's a symptom of growing up in Quebec because I was literally never taught a lot of stuff, like basic stuff about Canada. And I think it's because the Quebec government made us learn about Quebec.
I don't think it's shameful.
Like all. No, but it's. I think it's a bit shameful.
I understand why you think that's shameful, but I feel like the American propaganda machine is so strong and there's so many people here and so much of our lives is like around the internet that what's the population of Canada?
Now like 40 million, I think.
That's basically California. It's always 350 million.
It's always around 10% the US.
John, can you Google that? Is it, are we 350 million or 400 million? So like imagine 1 in 10 users on the internet. If you were combining Canada, 340 million, like 1 in 10, 1 in 9 users is.
It's always like 1 in 10-ish. Yeah.
So like a bulk of everything you read online is probably like oriented towards America. And our politics are probably more exciting than yours too. Good or bad.
They are. And like, I think the big difference is fundamentally, like we have a parliamentary system, right?
Yeah.
And you guys have the presidency. So even like, even asking who, you know, a vote, it's different here because theoretically you're just voting for seats. So you don't have a two-party system. And I think that inherently makes it less crazy because it's like, there's a bunch of different parties, but it's like, there are certain areas that will just vote for, you know, not the two main popular parties. They vote for some of the lesser ones and they actually get representation. So it just ends up being inherently, I think, less polarized because there isn't just, it's either A or B. You kind of, I think now in this election, it is kind of a bit more A or B just because, you know, as a response to you guys.
You know what Nigel's doing right now?
He's avoiding it.
He's filibustering us.
Okay, here's a question. As an American to
No,
a
I
Canadian,
can answer it. It's fine.
As a bald eagle to whatever your guys' animal is, a moose, right?
We have a beavers, man.
Oh,
beavers.
Really? Hmm. No way. Is it actually?
Should have gone with the moose.
Beaver? The moose is way cooler than a beaver.
Well, the moose is on the back of our quarter.
The beaver feels like there was like a joke somewhere in choosing the beaver.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's something we would
like
do.
Like a meme.
Like these bastards.
I mean, that's
what
the beaver.
A? Yeah,
the beaver is kind of how, I guess, no, not really in a way, but I mean, that is like when the French came. This is how I know all about the Quebec stuff, the French stuff. When the French came, there was the whole beaver trade where they killed the beavers and made them into hats and stuff. And that was
That sounds like a Now Red video. I turned a beaver into a hat.
But I think even like if you watch, I could be wrong, but if you watch like the movie The Revenant, that's kind of set in that time. And it's like, you know, you have the natives who are fighting with the French, and then you also have the British colonies. But they were all trading, a lot of them were trading beavers and animal hides. But a huge thing was the beaver trade. So it is part of the history.
Is that still legal in
Whereas
Nevada?
Whereas nowadays, sorry?
In Nevada?
Yeah, what states are do they allow that?
What?
Beaver trade?
There's no beavers in Nevada. There's no rivers or forests. But I'm sure that if there was, yeah, Nevada would let you kill them.
I think beaver trade is legal in Australia. The one time I went to Australia, that surprised me.
Huh.
So wait.
I can't tell if you're being serious right now or not. Oh my God. Everybody else.
Wait, what?
They got it.
I was making a prostitution joke.
I was going to say something like that. And then I'm like, no, he's being, I'm not going to derail the conversation. Wait, I have another Canadian thing. Nigel, didn't Trudeau quit like 8 months ago? And now?
Like 2 months ago.
That was 2 months ago?
Oh, yeah. How does that work?
No, it was longer than that.
So he steps down and then someone took over. Did they vote for someone to take over? They chose someone.
I will give you the rundown.
Okay.
With my, the sad thing is I can tell you so much more about the American
There's
system.
No way that you know less than we do about Canadian politics, though. So.
Correct. So because it's you don't vote for the leader, basically.
It's parties, right? Like,
correct. So like when you go to the voting booth, the leader's name is not on the ticket. You're voting for the representation of your area. And then it's kind of a little bit, I guess, like the electoral colleges where it's like there's ridings. So each person has a riding. And if you get, and I think it's representative of one seat. And then it's like, if you get enough seats across the country, you have a majority government, which means that obviously you can push more legislation because you have majority. Mm. But oftentimes it becomes like a minority government and then you kind of get nothing.
Okay,
happening.
I'm sorry I asked. I feel like I'm in history class right now.
Okay, fine.
This isn't on the board. We have a board, a list of stuff to talk about today. Let's go over.
I want to answer this quick.
Okay.
I'm going to answer this really quick. You asked about how the Trudeau thing. Basically, because you're voting for the party, not the guy. The leader can change at any time.
Okay.
Theoretically. If the party loses confidence and the people lose confidence, it'll be in their interest for the leader to step down and for a new leader to take the person's place. And for this one, Trudeau, it was extremely obvious that, you know, across the board, people didn't like him. Mm. I would say, yeah, that's just like true, where it was like they were guaranteed to lose the election. Like not even the numbers were just brutal. It was something like.
So he didn't even run again, right?
The party's always going to run.
Okay.
The leader depends, but it was, if Trudeau stayed, there was a 0% chance of their party not only not getting a majority, just literally being voted to oblivion. Guy.
That's why
he's like a scapegoat. He like takes the bad with him. Kind of.
I mean, a lot of the hate was against him specifically, not just the party. It was like specifically him. So, and the opposition, the conservatives, the main opposition, their entire campaign was anti him. So the moment he stepped down, it was kind of like in the U.S. when Biden stepped down.
Lost their...
And,
you know.
Yeah, and then Trump is like, wait, this isn't fair. We have all these anti-Biden ads.
Yeah,
and
you're like, $100 million this campaign.
So
thinking of
that's kind of what happened here.
Joe Biden.
Yeah,
do you guys want to hear him anyway?
So that's kind of what happened here. Where they lost so much steam because they're like, wait, the guy who everything was against him and he felt, you know, he took one for the team and stepped down. And if you look at the poll numbers, it was, like I said, brutal. It was like 60, I don't know, making these numbers up. It was almost like 70% of people who said they would vote would be like conservative and like 25 liberal. Like they had no chance. If you look at the graph, it just crisscrosses. And then liberal is, people think they're going to get the majority government.
Here's, I want to share something interesting. I think is interesting. It's actually, when I say interesting, I mean, it sucks ass.
Okay.
I already told you. You haven't heard, I don't think I've told you this yet, Nigel. So while we're on the topic of politics for the next 2 minutes, OpenSauce every year does PCB badges, right?
Yeah.
So we have a sponsor, which is a company that manufactures PCBs, and it's changed both years. This year is one of them is returning, and they're made in China because that's where PCBs are made if you are anybody other than like a U.S. contractor.
Yeah.
So I just had to pay the import tariff to DHL.
Oh, God.
For importing the prototype PCB badges. So this is 40 badges.
40 prototype badges.
They were $900.
What's the price of them?
$900 for the badges. Okay. We did not pay for that because it's the sponsor.
Let me guess.
Yeah.
Oh, let me guess the tariff.
And this is not, this is literally, so here, I should read the letter actually. I think that we're not necessarily seeing enough of these like literal examples because most, I mean, even though we run a business, I kind of have always been like, well, I guess it's just 150% of the cost of it or whatever. Like, I don't know, but I actually have a letter now that I can read.
I mean, I even see it because Canada did retaliatory tariffs.
Yeah.
I basically am just trying not to buy anything American, not even out of like principle or anything. I bought something that was $500. It was a $400 import cost.
Gah.
Well, get ready for this.
Well, with normal fees. And then on top of it, it said other governmental fees, like $300 or $250. And yeah. I'm like, what? Because it was made in America.
So this is a real example. This is the first time that I have to my face seen what the tariffs actually mean. This is the email from DHL. It says, DHL Express has paid the duty for your parcel with way bill
Let
number.
Let me guess.
Blah, blah, blah.
Before you say the number, I want to guess though.
Okay.
Okay, guess.
Oh, if it was... the value is listed at $900.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would my guess is at least the value is what you paid in tax.
Okay. So DHL Express has paid the duty, which means DHL, a private company, has paid customs.
They fronted
the money for me.
And they're like, please pay us now.
Yes. They said the amount you need to pay is $1,841.
200%.
That is so much worse than I thought.
If the duty is not paid within 5 days from the arrival date, the parcel will be returned to shipper.
Oh.
So I don't really...
We're going to come break your kneecaps.
Exactly. I don't know exactly what the arrival date is. I don't know if that's this email showing up, but I literally had to pay on the credit card $1,800 this morning to get 40 badges across customs. And I am shitting my pants right now because there are tens of thousands of badges that will come in for the actual event.
Okay, but
okay,
that $90 or $900 for 40 badges,
yeah.
Why were they so expensive to begin with? Because
there's a bunch of colors.
Because they're prototypes.
Really?
But we didn't pay for that because it's a sponsor. So they're sending
them
into
the country. But it's just like the
listed value. Huh?
They just listed it as the value, even though you didn't pay for it.
That's what what it cost them for the prototypes. Like that's what they would charge. Like that is the value.
Mm.
And so even though we didn't pay it, we still had to pay $1,800 to get $900 worth of goods
into
the country.
So much worse than I thought.
And
I thought even like 100%, I was like, that seems from what I've heard, kind of I did not think.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on, and there's like no breakdown of it. And it's like I genuinely don't know if like what's going to happen, like come the event, like, can we get the badges? Are we going to have to come up with some other way?
So it's listed at like, you know, it's free, but you get them. The value is listed at $100,000.
Dude, how much?
You have to pay $200,000 to get them in.
I think that the value of the badges, like if you do the PCB math, because they're big circuit boards and they have a circuit on them and everything. There's just no components. You like get to build that yourself. It's this cool like persistence of vision circuit that's made out of like six components. There's not even resistors on it. Or there's one resistor, but it's used as basically a giant accelerometer. So complicated.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, what does a PCB that's like, you know, 5 by 5 inches cost in quantities of tens of thousands? $1 each? $2 each? $3
where,
each?
From China?
From China.
I mean,
probably $1 to $2 each, right?
No.
For a huge piece of fiberglass?
I think like dollar? If you just get like the bare bones, like green, cheapest.
No, we have all different colors and everything.
I'm saying like you'd say what is the cheapest? And I'm saying like for a bare bones PCB, it would be like $5 for $2.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm.
But since you're getting like all kinds of like multicolored silk screen, that goes up a lot.
And then air freighting and stuff. I'm worried that they're gonna come through the border and we're gonna have to pay like they're gonna ask us for like $30,000 or $40,000.
I was going to say one.
And who knows what the tariff's going to go up to.
Yeah.
Like, what if it goes up to. The one hack. What if there's like a straight up embargo and you can't get anything from China?
You know, the funniest part about all of that is that even if the tariff was 30 or 40,000, I'm pretty sure it's still cheaper than hiring one of the American companies to do it.
Yeah.
Like, actually.
Okay. So say you do order all these PCBs and you're going to have them delivered. And then they announce that we're lifting all the exports or we're lifting all of the tariffs. And then everybody tries to ship something at the same time.
Yeah. It's going to be crazy.
Like, then the shipping fees are going to be just as high. Like all the spots on the planes are going to be taken up.
Yeah. Like actually, yeah.
But let me see my hack. Let me see my hack.
Are we going to learn how where NASCAR comes from?
Yes. No, the hack is you just deliver it to a warehouse in like Vancouver and then deliver it to California because the tariff will be like 25%.
Now we're going NASCAR. What if we do NASBOAT?
What does that mean?
That's where NASCAR came from, right? It was smuggling, alcohol smuggling, right?
Oh,
that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you would take your 200% to 25% by just shipping it to Canada first.
Well, I think it's the country of origin, like down the chain.
Okay, so what if you're a company in Canada that makes microwave, right? And then you buy a circuit board from China.
Oh,
and they put it. Like, how much do you have to change?
Okay, ship it to somebody in Vancouver, and the circuit board is 99% good. It just needs a sticker on each one.
Is that enough?
Someone adds the sticker just as made in Canada.
You know what I was thinking?
That's the sticker.
The lanyard.
That's the sticker.
Because you have to put lanyards on
there.
Mm-hmm.
But is that enough?
You put the lanyard.
I have literally no idea. I genuinely don't know. I've like, normally don't have this problem. You just buy stuff.
Yeah.
I was thinking Nigel just puts them all on and wears a really big coat on the airplane.
That's how I get sent to, what's it called? El Salvador.
Guantanamo Bay.
They let you keep your badges though.
Dude, I'm only 50%.
You can take one
sure
off per day.
when I go to your place, Will, in like 2 weeks, I'm only 50% sure that I'm going to make it there.
Yeah. Anyways, that's my open source tariff update. That's fucked, right? Like, I actually don't know.
Yeah. Or, you know, like during the Great Depression, how they had like depression cookies, depression.
Yeah.
You could have like depression, Hoover. Like tariff badges.
I know.
It's like a paper bag.
Like, I mean, we have the giant printer. Could, like, print, but you got to cut them out. Oh, man.
Oh, man. If I got all that steel on the government auction site,
could have cut them.
Yeah. That would have been enough, too.
Like we said, don't worry though, because like very quickly the American PCB manufacturer is gonna pop up, and then they're also gonna undercut the Chinese.
You know, I've dealt with exactly one American PCB manufacturer, right? So Colorado PCB is the assembly house, and they can help get boards made, but the actual making of the fiberglass circuit boards, which is funny, right? Because like when I was like, when I was younger, it's like you have chips and that's silicon, right?
Yeah.
Silicon is the like the material that's inside of the little black plastic chips with little metal legs coming off. The actual board itself is not silicon, like that's fiberglass. Mm-hmm. Like the green board, the colored board.
Yeah.
So when you get a circuit board, there's two kind of halves to the industry. You have the half that makes that fiberglass board, which is a horrific, horrific process.
Yeah.
Like truly, I think it's probably.
You mean like with the printing of the design on the board, the cutting,
etching, the chemicals,
the placement of the items on the board.
Milling and cutting in fiberglass. Yeah. And it, like apparently it's like a very, very disgusting process.
Okay. I don't think it's anywhere as near of a horrific industry that the foundries are though.
For
making the silicon dies.
You think it's less?
Well, I mean,
From making the fiberglass boards is like a really complex process that you need a huge investment to do, right? Like the machines required and having a company, like starting a company that does like component placement is probably several orders of magnitude more affordable than starting a company that actually does the fabrication. So like I've only worked with one American fabrication company for the actual fiberglass boards. And Colorado PCB, the company that like saved the Mr. Beast Squid Game project, they just helped to navigate working with the company that manufactures the boards, and then they populated the board. So of the one time I worked with an American company to actually make the fiberglass boards, it was a genuinely horrific experience where they did not communicate. It was very expensive, and I almost got screwed because of them.
Yeah.
And I don't think that there's any world where it would be possible to use an American company to do the badges.
I was going to say, I think that if you were to ask me to summarize across the board, what is it like dealing with a North American company? I feel like if I just say bad, it's pretty accurate for most of my experiences.
I like, you know, like the suckiest part about all of this is like the reason that we don't work with American PCB companies is because they don't want to support the event.
No.
Oh, really?
That's it.
What do you mean?
It's the Chinese PCB manufacturers that are willing to support open source and make us badges. Like,
they're emailing you. Like, how can we help? We want to be a part of this.
Not a single American company has contacted us about actually like fabricating the boards. Like the only company that works with us that does components is Colorado PCB. Like they were at Open Source last year and they're coming again this year, I'm pretty sure. And so like, but that's not a fab house. That is a family company that builds the boards. They populate the boards and then they help you navigate the fab house, which is a nightmare to deal with, which is half of their job, is that you don't have to deal with the fiberglass manufacturer. But like honestly,
and
like that
the China companies are just so good and efficient. You can do it all online. You get like instant quotes. There was like an American company I was like searching for them. I'm like, okay, there's OSH Park.
I talked to them like year one, and they responded, but they weren't really interested, and I never hear anything back from them. Like,
and then there's some other ones, but I think like they're not interested unless you're actually doing like you have to do like 10,000 boards or something kind of thing.
Just in general, the customer service that I get from Chinese companies compared to any American or Canadian company is pretty unparalleled. Like I know that all the people that I've bought these machines from, I run into a problem. I straight up just take some of them I have on WhatsApp. Other ones I have an email. I just take a photo. I email them and they're 12 hours apart, so usually you have to wait till the evening. I will have like an engineer responding with diagrams and answers in like a couple hours, maybe, sometimes less. Sometimes like, oh, we can hop on WhatsApp and you're like real-time chatting with them, sharing photos. We have been trying to buy like some sensors and some other stuff from American companies. Not only did it take us two plus weeks to just give them our money because they would take so long to reply, they'd forget what we're talking about. They sent us the wrong stuff. It's now been a week and a half and my friend's been calling them, emailing them. And it's like, you put all that effort and you get one email reply. Oh, sorry. That was a problem. I'll look into it. Nothing. Nope. He has to keep hounding them for an answer. It's like the Chinese company, we broke one of the glass pieces. I literally just messaged them on Alibaba. I'm like, hey, a piece broke. Can we replace this? I think it was within like 2 hours. He already quoted. I paid. And he's like, we'll ship it out in like a couple days. It arrived broken. He was like, so sorry. He goes, very bad. He goes, we'll just, and I think it was the next day or that day, replacements were shipped out and arrived like within 2 days from China. It was like just,
unfathomable.
It's like so fast and great customer service.
So my parents were, when I was little, my parents tried to start a company. Actually, no, let me go get it. I have one of them here.
Okay.
I feel like I'm coming across too pro-China.
Too pro-China?
I got a I gotta tone down my pro China.
No, bro, I'm China.
My pro China business.
China pilled.
Okay, I would say that nothing I'm saying has any bearing on like anything political. It's just straight up my experience of wanting something, paying money, and getting it has been pretty smooth for everything I buy on Alibaba.
Okay.
All right. So, where do I put this, John? Can you see this? So when I was a kid, my mom and dad had this business idea to sell these foam chairs that they called, if there's a tag on it, they called it the cozy chair. And it's like a cube of foam that has a like upholstered, like a kind of fabric wrapped around it. And there's like an elastic band so you can like pull the fabric off to clean it.
Yeah.
And then the cube that got cut out was then also upholstered in the same way where you can pull it off and then wash it. And it fits together in a nice little cube. And it's like a fun chair to sit in for little kids. And I remember they tried to make everything here. So like the fabric, they like when you could go to LA, Los Angeles and like look at textiles and the foam places and whatnot. And you can't do that anymore.
Not here.
Not here. You can't go like if you wanted to find somebody to do something like this, it doesn't exist. And so, you know, the business wasn't like successful. Like they probably, I don't know, made their money back or they would just sell them at swap meets and they were trying to make deals with like furniture stores and stuff like that.
Yeah, I bet. And, but now the thing is you could do like this could be more successful.
It could be. But like it got me thinking, you know, like, well, if my parents felt like they were able to start what I would say is kind of a manufacturing business, like making this foam and fabric couch in the United States, like why do I feel like that would be harder now? And because that was the, like 90s, right? Like probably mid 90s is my guess. Like I remember we had a room in the house that was just like floor to ceiling, these foam cubes.
That's awesome. It's like a fort. Yeah,
and you could make like the most amazing farts with them. And it's my like, I'm like, why can't you really do that anymore? Like, why am I not able to go and find a place that makes fabric or foam or whatnot? I was watching some, you know, videos to see how like, how all this is affecting other businesses. And there's this company on the East Coast that makes like flannel or jackets or whatever. And the only thing that they don't make is the textile, which is like the entire garment, right?
Yeah, they just sew it together.
They just sew it together. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's like videos inside of the shop, like the factory that they make them in. And it's all like senior citizens, like just really old seamstresses.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so it's not even like young people that they're training to do anything. It's just a bunch of people that have been there since the beginning. And I was thinking why don't we make any of that stuff here? And I don't know, like maybe it's because like, where does most of the manufacturing come from? Maybe it's like big companies, right?
They've all been consolidated.
Like the jobs I've had doing engineering have basically been supported by the government, especially like the one company, it was like, you know, weapons company that I worked at, not like actually weapons, but like the weapon accessories. So like loading mechanisms and stuff. I didn't make bombs. That was awesome.
It sounded like you were going to say bombs.
Right.
Like,
no,
I didn't make like the weapons. I made the accessories.
I didn't make
like the parts that come out of the weapon.
I'm going to be perfectly honest.
500 times a second.
I didn't actually make anything. I was an intern. They didn't let me do anything.
That's your defense.
I just made a really awesome SolidWorks simulation of enormous bullets rotating through this giant cartridge.
So you made the thing that puts the bullets
into the plane
on the ground so the plane can get rid of them in the air.
Exactly. And then they would do other accessories, like ground accessory equipment that was like air conditioners and stuff for the planes. Because like when they're on the ground, their engines aren't running really because then they're producing thrust.
Yeah.
And so you would have to bring in like auxiliary power, auxiliary cooling, auxiliary stuff.
Like they do with regular planes at the airport.
Exactly. Yeah. Kind of like that stuff. And they had like missile loaders and like these crazy like forklifts that like parallelogram like a missile up. So like it sits on it looks like a floor jack. No. It's like only one section of a scissor lift, but it looks like a floor jack. It's like a drivable floor jack.
Oh, yeah.
And it would like lift the missile onto the plane.
Have you seen The Matrix?
Yeah.
You know when they're loading those like the fighting mechs?
Yeah.
In Zion and they have like these giant ammo. It was this guy's job to just like push all the ammo out and like load it onto the back.
Yeah.
And then you can see it like going through the belt onto the gun.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly
what they did. Yeah. So I'm like, like that job was basically entirely funded by Northrop Grumman. Like I had to go to Northrop Grumman. I only worked there for like a few months and I was like, I didn't want to work there anymore. And I'm like, okay, well now you have this shop that is like has a huge chunk of its income from Northrop Grumman. Maybe it has extra capacity in its machine shop. So then they like sell jobs to like local companies.
Yeah.
And now me as a local company who wants to get something made can go to them and get some prototypes machined or whatnot. Because like a bulk of their business is funded by like Northrop Grumman.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like the steel yard around here.
Right. There's other businesses. So I'm like, yeah. Okay, well, over the years, these like big businesses that have been, you know, funding like smaller companies, right? Because it's like a big business is like buying stuff locally, have yeah. been like buying stuff foreign because it's cheaper. And so then when I want to go and buy something or have something made here, I can't because the company that relies on these big contracts died 20 years ago because the big contracts dried up because
everything's become too globalized. The only thing that you can get locally is stuff that's made locally, like yeah. houses and
food for
buildings.
The most part. Yeah.
Like that's it.
I mean, food, even not even because there's a lot of like meat
yeah.
and other stuff that's just imported or exported.
It does make it cheaper if it's locally, though.
Food no. is, a lot of your food is probably local just because it's easier to ship. But it's like, I'm pretty sure, I mean, most major countries are importing, exporting
yeah.
All kinds of food. And what's really weird is like, I'm pretty sure there'll be like, for example, if you look at the US, it'll be like, oh, we imported, I don't know, 100 tons of meat in 2024. I'm making this up. But then it's like, we exported some number that's kind of similar. Mm. You're like, why don't you just keep your meat?
Yeah.
But right. but it ends up being like
different types.
I think a lot of it's just like how the trade works. It's like it ended up being more economical for some people to buy it, but then for other people to sell it, it's like, I don't know. I'm just saying it's not as simple as, you know, you just add those right. numbers up and, oh, we might as well not export. It's like you might be exporting meat, but then also importing meat.
I think it does make sense. It's like different, maybe contracts with different companies and different, like who knows? Like maybe one person like wants to buy organic meat and the other person just wants the cheapest meat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cheap.
It gets pretty
meat.
Complicated.
Like, you know,
pre-beaten meat, you know?
Yeah.
I want some of that it's Canadian like, I think beaten meat.
That Canadian beaver.
They're also
meat.
Supposed to do. Stop.
Beaver tail.
beaver meat.
We have beaver tails here, but they're like donuts, basically.
Oh,
they're
it's like
fried
not
dough.
Real.
Oh,
sad.
No. Yeah, I guess like it does make sense if it's like different forms. Like you're not literally just shipping out, exporting and importing the exact same item.
Here's like, I have a question though, right? Like this is like the finale of my whole thought is like, if a big company like Apple makes its stuff in China because it's cheaper.
Yeah.
Then I don't have the opportunity to use the businesses, the auxiliary businesses that are supported by what could have been American manufacturing, right? So like if a big company that has the budget to like make stuff here and mm-hmm. spin up like industries around it, you know, like when you go to Disneyland, once you get out of the Disney bubble, there's just hotels everywhere that aren't
oh, yeah.
Disney. Like those hotels wouldn't exist if Disneyland wasn't there.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure there's a lot of manufacturing that doesn't exist because these big giant magnets don't do it here. And because those big giant magnets don't do it here, then when I want to do something smaller and I don't have, you know, billions yeah. of dollars, that would be awesome.
You can't.
You don't have billions?
No, I don't have billions of dollars. Is that?
Trillions. Oh, you have trillions.
Trillions.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like the big fish went somewhere else. So all the little parasites that were like milking off of it, like they died. And now when I, an even smaller parasite, want to do something, I can't go to the little guy.
I mean,
the little guy doesn't
exist. I think what is kind of interesting, I guess, is that what you're describing is exactly what tariffs are supposed to protect.
Right.
But you're kind of supposed to
do it in a way that makes sense, right?
Well, yeah, but you're supposed to put the tariffs in
before
the industry yeah. dies.
Yeah.
Let it die. It's like you have to make when you have someone dying, you have the decision to like, you know, save
them.
You don't let them.
You got freezer
yeah, you
burn on
let
your
them
fingers
die.
Working up your arm. And then you wait till it gets to the head and then it's like, oh, we got to cut it off.
Yeah, but it's just like in Canada, for example, just to protect, you know, poultry, you know, the milk, the dairy industry and everything. there are tariffs, but they're quoted tariffs. Mm. And there's a bunch of different stipulations. So it's like, if it starts getting above a certain point and impacting the local production, that's when you basically shut down the imports on right. those things. But it's like, you have these protectionist things, which makes sense. Whereas if Canada went, you know what? We don't need dairy industry anymore. Then yeah, it's exactly what you're describing, where you're just kind of at the whim of the US goes, hey, we don't want to give you milk anymore. And I'm like, all the Canadians are like, oh, I guess we don't have milk anymore.
Right.
Yeah, there is like a national food security issue. Not just that, but like manufacturing security and like national security.
So why does a steel yard exist? Right? Like the local steel yard that we go to buy metal. We don't buy the new metal. We buy the cutoff metal.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. And that only exists because, I don't know, I guess they probably make like 10% more money every year if they let little guys come and sift through their trash.
Right? It's got to be like big companies. Because like Haas is somewhere around here.
Okay.
Right? The CNC company that makes the big Haas, like the giant CNC
machines. Yeah, I know where they are.
And so like they probably buy, but I don't know if they buy from the metal yard. Like maybe it's just, is it like local contractors? Like do they build buildings like with metal from that yard? Or do they, like if you're building a building and you need a lot of metal, then wouldn't it be better to like get it from a bigger supplier than a local yard?
I have a question. So it's like, because if you look what happened in the US, because I mean, it's undeniable that like your manufacturing, like you're saying, was just completely gutted over the years. But it's like, if you look at it in like a pure free market, not purely free market, but like almost free market capitalist view, it's like, that's kind of why it was given up, right? Like, why would you pay more for steel, let's say, if you could just let Canada make steel and you just buy it from them? But then it's like, so you are in this position where you could cut costs and get products cheaper to the customer, or you could have the cost higher because then it's like for national security and other reasons. And it's like, where is the line of like how much you raise the cost on the consumer versus you keeping it made locally and keeping these industries subsidized to a certain degree?
Well, I think that with metal, it's pretty locked in. I think it's about as cheap as it can possibly get. And you're not going to get any breaks unless you buy like a train load.
Yeah, but if you're building a building, that might make sense. But maybe it's not worth the extra headache of having to deal with that.
Yeah, well, like if you are building a whole building, you probably just like do order it from like a company. You know, these people are probably like the in between. I see a lot of people buying like, you know, maybe like a trailer load, like a big flatbed trailer full. Like, you know, it's a lot of steel, but like you couldn't build a building with that. But they might be, I don't know, building
like
a
unless you're buying
a, bridge,
like a whole train
a small bridge.
Load of steel, like multiple cars.
Yeah,
that's true. Locally, you're always just gonna get, you know, completely overcharged.
I definitely feel like if there was less industry here, buying metal from the yard, then the yard wouldn't exist.
No, yeah, because our business isn't enough to support it.
Right. I mean, we literally give them the shittiest business out of everyone. Like, we're buying steel by the
50
pound.
Bucks a month?
They literally charge you by the pound because it's cut off.
Yeah.
And so we are quite literally just... maybe actually the value we're adding is cleaning.
We're like the vultures.
Yeah.
We're the parasites.
And
so
I was going to say that's probably what it is, where it's kind of like when you have a large item and you throw it on, you know, Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace and you'll put like a 10 bucks just to make it seem like it's worth something. Yeah. But really you just want a guy to take it away.
I know that the value of this thing to that guy selling it is the 10 square feet in his garage I can free up.
Exactly.
If he wants that square footage, he should pay me to pick his old bicycle up.
Well, that's actually the whole point, is he would have to pay someone, but he could instead just have a bunch of vultures come in and pay like some nominal nothing fee. And he's like, well, I got my space back.
So if that steel yard, because, you know, there used to be oil here, right? I think there probably still is oil here, but they used to have oil industry. Like there's places all over the county where they still have the oil dikes. Is that what they call them? The pumps? The pump jacks?
Pump jacks.
What's an oil dike?
I don't know.
Is that not? Let me Google this before I realize this.
Oh, I know there's still oil here because there's like some mountains, some trails around here, and the oil is literally like gushing out of the mountain. Like there's pools, primeval pools of oil. And I've seen a rat. I've seen a frog. I've seen like small critters stuck in this oil field.
Oh yeah, you saw the oil. Well, when I searched that, the oil pump comes up. Is this like an old nickname or something? I don't know why.
I've heard them called pump oil, jacks.
Yeah, pump jack.
I looked up what you said, and it says it is. I had it before. What the hell?
Let's get that.
It said it was is a structure built around an oil tank to contain oil in the case of a failure.
Oh. So it is like a dam.
Yeah.
But the oil industry here definitely used a shit ton of metal.
Yeah.
And then you would have had like metal industry. Cause I'm like, where, like if this steel yard like disappeared, right? Cause like how much metal is being bought here? I don't know. I have no idea. Is it a lot?
Enough to support.
Enough to 1 yard. I'm one yard.
1 yard.
Right. Like how many film developing places are there? One every county. Right. Yeah. Like there's enough business to support like one film development shop in every county.
Well, there used to be enough. You know, you used to be able to have one of everything in a city, right?
Now you can't.
But well, now it's like, you know, these big companies, they just
eat everything.
You do everything. Yeah, they eat everything. They consolidate.
Like you want to develop your film at CVS, they like mail it to a center and then it gets mailed back.
Mm. You want foam? Well, some place in China does it now.
Or there's like one place in the States, but it's like, you know, 600 miles away from you.
Yeah.
So I guess that's just like.
What would we do if that steel yard went away? Where would you get steel from? Not McMaster, Jesus Christ. You could get it.
Yeah,
there,
we're not Nigel buying his 6-inch roll of copper. 6-inch.
They'll get it.
Oh,
yeah.
The big brick of copper. I did that because it was just kind of easy and I didn't want to. I could probably have found it in China or something.
We would have to drive to LA.
Yeah.
Like we would have to go. We'd probably have to drive like over an hour to find a place to get metal.
Oh, that's what I have to do for liquid nitrogen now.
Yeah.
Air gas doesn't do that. In Florida, they did.
Wait,
I could bring my door and they would fill it with liquid nitrogen. And here they're like,
yeah, they do that locally here.
They're like, we don't have that. You got to go to LA for that.
Yeah.
You know, not to brag, Kevin, you can just come to my place and I'll fill it up for you.
You just fill up an envelope with some nitrogen and send it.
Can you just like put some in a Gatorade bottle and ship it to me?
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll do it. I'll overnight it and I'll put like a little bit of insulation around it.
Put some ice in there to keep it cold.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gatorade bottle might not be safe. You might have to put it in like a big steel container or something.
And weld it shut.
Yeah, weld it shut.
don't worry. I'll be right on that.
I don't think you could even weld it shut. Wouldn't like.
Oh, you said bees. That's a key word. I'm talking about bees right now. It's on the board.
What?
I wrote
Kevin
down
wanted
bees.
Me to write bees on the board.
Yeah.
Who said bees?
You did.
Bee? Oh,
said you said
bees?
I'll be right on that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bouncing on
you
my
activated
bees.
My trap card.
Before we leave, before we change, all I was going to say about like the whole consolidation of stuff, because that is something I noticed. And I mean, I think it just is a byproduct of everyone just going to whatever the cheapest thing is and like whatever your industry has.
Be stupid.
But what I have found is,
So
I found what is interesting. It's like China built up its huge manufacturing base, but there are still like holes in what they can produce. So there'll be certain items you buy from them. For example, XRF analyzers. If you go to Alibaba and you try to get an XRF analyzer, they will often try to sell you an American-made one.
Hmm.
Because the Chinese companies can't make it for certain applications. They don't have the manufacturing tech for that. Like I was talking to them for one of them and they're like, oh, we can sell you this one. It's, I forget the brand name now. And I'm like, They sent it to me. I'm like, no, what? That's made in America. You're going to literally have it get sent to China and ship it to me? Like, this is insane. You're not middlemaning me. And then even my glove box that I bought, she sent me like the whole parts list. It's like half of it is made from German parts.
Yeah, I see
it's
that like a lot. They highlight all these fittings. Components are from Germany.
Yeah.
These motors.
Oh, it's like an upsell?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. For me, it wasn't an upsell. She was like, okay, these parts can be made in China. It's like all the frame, the glass, all like this base level stuff. But she was like, oh, the catalyst regeneration system. She's like, we can make the housing and everything. But she's like, this thing, this part of it, the sensors all come from Siemens. So she was like,
pretty sure
all these are imported
Siemens.
Parts. Yeah, exactly. And even they ship it with, it was just interesting that they didn't sell a lesser model because a bunch of the parts were from Siemens and even like a lot of the fittings were swage lock. So they're like, they said they're imported parts and they just didn't really offer other like Chinese made parts. And
like, this is not
again,
worth
like
it
I said,
for them or whatever. Like It's just,
it's that, like the XRF, they just don't, nobody there makes it.
Yeah.
They make a XRF, they make certain XRF, but when you start, you ask for like certain types of XRF,
what is XRF? Or
X-ray fluorescence. So you use it for, it shoots X-rays, and then the X-rays that come back will tell you what the element you hit is.
Okay, tell us about the bees, Kevin.
Okay.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
Plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/real ID or visit your local DMV.
Guys, this is big news. I don't know why nobody is talking about this. You heard it here first, though. You know, the mainstream media is keeping this quiet.
Not even Joe Rogan's talking about this?
No.
That's shocking.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares about the bees.
What's wrong with the bees? Or what's good with the bees?
Well, I'm trying to, I made a diagram.
Okay.
I'll send that later. Actually, no. Yeah.
Here's the good news or bad news?
Here's the diagram I've made to elaborate on this problem. I'll send it to you, John. There's no bees. 80% of bees have disappeared in the last 8 months.
Where did they go?
I don't know. Probably
Hawaii.
The great hive in the sky. Actually, it's more of like the great hive on the ground.
I definitely, 80%, it's not my fault. I have not been hitting bees.
Where'd you get that number? Where'd you get that fact?
I didn't get to do a lot of notes on this. That's hundreds of millions of bees.
Do they
80% in 8 months? Probably
8 months?
Yeah.
Wait, that's actually the number? 8 months?
8 months.
Bees disappear in 8 months?
Maybe they do that every year though.
Like, have you, okay, I have a question. Are you counting bees? Or is this something that you research on the internet?
I saw a headline. Mm-hmm. I read it. I read part of the article.
And I spent 6 hours staring out my window looking
and
for
bees. I did some research. I don't know. Have you seen any bees?
I see a bee when it's half down on the ground.
It says 80% of commercial bees.
What does that mean? Like for
it means
ads?
Honey
like
producing for, bees.
Like a honey commercial?
Which
like
means that the honey industry is gonna collapse.
Hey.
Well, not only that, but they take these farmers buy bees. They ship them on trucks and trains to farms to pollinate their crops.
And then they just like let them go and they just fucking die?
No, I think that there is some like a service involved. Like, you know, they have beekeepers that like do it.
Would they have like a special whistle?
No, they just have homing technology built in.
Wait, so they like bring the whole hive on a truck?
Yeah, you know, like those wooden beehives.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Could you imagine an accident on the freeway?
I know. That'd be nuts.
That would be awful.
Dude, that's something out of Final Destination. There's like a cloud, like the sky darkens.
It gets slightly dark, but like weirdly yellow at the same time.
Yeah. There's like a weird, like, you know, humming noise.
I heard every year I hear bees in the oak tree here.
Yeah.
And I was at a park the other day and I heard bees in that tree, but I feel like the duration between hearing bees has decreased.
Nigel, have you seen bees?
Frequency decrease.
What?
What?
What the hell was that?
John, have you seen bees?
I have seen bees. Because the big thing is they're disappearing in America, but right when you go over the border, they're doing fine.
Hmm.
I remember when I was getting my driver's license, there were days where you would like drive through bees.
That's my next point.
I've never.
Do you remember going on road trips and the cars being covered in bugs?
Yeah. The last time my car was covered in anything was that one road trip with the frogs.
Yeah.
And it was covered in frogs.
That makes sense. The frogs are eating the bugs, and that's why there's so many frogs now.
Well, there's a lot less frogs since I drove over hundreds of them. Maybe thousands. I don't remember. I've sort of blacked out that part of my memory.
There's no bugs anymore. We're actually like, I think 2/3 of all insects kind of disappeared.
Or have we like microplastics them? And we don't realize it. Like there's something that we did. A beekeeping wag of John found a video of.
Oh, cool.
Oh my God. It just is the whole hive.
Yeah. Multiple hives.
Whoa. Is there like bee wars? How does that work with multiple queens? So the bees. Okay. It's a giant truck. I'm going to describe this for the audio listeners. It's like the kind of one of the most sort of jerry-rigged. Well, it looks kind of nice actually at the front.
Yeah, it's like a. It's an Airbnb.
Did you come up with that? Add that or did you make that up?
I made that up.
That's good.
Thank you.
It's a box truck, like a U-Haul kind of, but the side of it just has what looks like a bunch of holes for bees to come out. Yeah. I don't know how to describe this.
Dude. It's like a bee dispensing truck.
It is. Could you imagine? It's like a spy car from a movie where they like hit a button and, like
and a bunch
oil
of like drones fly out.
Yeah, yeah, but in this case, you hit a button and just bees start spraying out the side of your car. That's probably if you were looking for that like bee hitting your windshield experience again.
Oh, you
find
can
one of those
for that.
And follow it, and yeah. I guarantee that some will escape.
Yeah.
Where did they go? Is it pesticides?
Yeah. Or have we just killed them all with cars and planes? Maybe it is microplastics and pesticides. And
what happens when we run out of bees? What bugs do we have here? We die, right? We just die if the bees die. We have pincher bugs. Every time I open the shipping container door, pincher bugs fall on my head, and I hate that.
Yeah. There's a lot of spiders.
Spiders?
I've never seen so many spiders. You guys have 10 times
because they're eating all the bugs.
We have the greatest spiders.
They're the biggest spiders.
The biggest spiders.
Nobody makes a deal like our spiders in California.
There's that one fat ass bee that's like eating through the
wood.
Oh,
the carpenter bees. Yeah. The big black one that sounds like a hummingbird.
Yeah, it looks like a cotton ball that was dyed black and flies around.
Hmm.
And
is he friendly?
I think they're not mean.
No, I think they're friendly. They kind of come around. They like, it's almost like they're scanning you. Like they can hold their position so well. And they're like, and then they fly away.
They're like target not acquired. Uh-huh. Too big. Scorpions.
They start looking in your holes. Dude. They're like looking at your nose, your ears. Yeah.
I've seen a scorpion here twice in my life. That's pretty much all the bug.
Another one is
flies?
Lightning bugs. Those are gone.
Completely?
Mostly.
We never had them here, though, so I don't miss them.
So many, like, in the Chicago area. It was great.
And they're just not there anymore.
Yeah, apparently. That's what people on Reddit are saying.
What the fuck did we do? I forgot we don't spend money on stuff like this anymore.
No.
Wait,
and
so...
birds, like, 60% of all birds are gone.
Well, that's because electronics are more expensive now.
What?
The birds are robots.
Oh, yeah. And the 5G interferes with them.
Do the birds make it over to you? Or?
I mean, our birds make it to you, right? We have our.
Oh, you son of a bitch. Are you spying on me?
When's the last time you've gotten into a fight with a Canadian goose, you know?
Yeah.
It hasn't happened in years.
Never. Never. They respect the Canadians.
Yeah, they come down here and they try to start fights.
Because they're racist.
Exactly.
So apparently just no one's like researching bees. They just know they're gone and they're like, okay.
Yeah, they have some ideas.
I think.
What are the ideas?
Basically everything. Everything. They're like, oh, maybe it is pesticides. Maybe it's this.
It's 5G.
Maybe it's this parasite.
Does the success of the Joe Rogan podcast correlate to the decline of bees by any chance, John? Can you look that up?
It does.
Yeah. You got to find where's the intersection point, you know?
That would be crazy, wouldn't it? If the Joe Rogan podcast turns out to be
causation, like
correlation versus causation.
Yeah, there's actually a causation.
We
have to kill Joe Rogan to restore the bees.
What?
Yeah.
I know. I just reacted to Kevin.
What? Okay. I feel like if there are that few bees.
Yeah.
Why is that not a bigger deal? Is it a big deal and just no one gives a shit because it's not, you can't sell Coca-Cola ads on a news article about bees?
I don't really understand why, but I feel like it's like bees are pretty universally loved. Everyone, you know,
unless you're allergic.
I don't really hear
any.
Yeah, but besides, even the people who are allergic, they don't fault the bees. You know what I mean? Like they don't, People don't see bees and go kill that. Like a cockroach or something, everyone's like, no, I just get satisfaction in seeing it die. Like, it's pretty sadistic. But every so often, I've said, sorry?
What about molten aluminum?
Molten aluminum? Cockroach. Oh, yeah, that's good too. Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. I approve. No, I find that like every couple of years, someone will bring up something like what Kevin's saying. You'd be like, do you guys like bees? Everyone's like, yeah, we love bees. It's like, well, like 80% of them just died. And everyone's like, oh, that sucks.
And then we just do exactly what we normally do.
That's it. Somebody told me
that I could do something to help the bees and it wouldn't interfere with my life too much, you know?
They'll be like, so why is the bee dying? I don't know. Oh, like, so what can I do? I don't know.
One less square of toilet paper per day, you'll save the bees.
No, but the problem is nobody has an answer ever. So everyone's like, what can I do to stop this? I don't know. And I was like, oh.
Like, that's awesome.
Okay. So, and then like 3 years later, 80% of the bees died again. Everyone's like, oh no.
Wait, so how does corn work? How does the corn, do they need bees? Does corn need bees? Probably, right?
I think everything needs pollinators.
So do we like dump a bunch of money like in subsidies, which is like the government basically forces us to pay for corn for some reason. Right?
Yeah.
And then the corn needs the bees, but then we don't spend any money on bees.
Holy shit.
Holy fucking shit. Are you kidding me, John?
We're going to reach the singularity soon.
Wait, blue is Joe Rogan podcast popularity. Yellow is global bee population index. No fucking, that's fake news. God damn it. That would have been so amazing.
Did you just put that together in like 5 seconds? Okay, that's amazing.
Oh man, I thought that we were finally going to have the proof we needed to get rid of the Joe Rogan podcast.
I'll look it up on ChatGPT.
Wait, you say that's fake news, but I mean, it's literally true. It's true news.
Sorry, I was fixing the lights.
When's the last time you stood under a streetlight and you've seen bugs circling it?
There was bugs in my house yesterday. When I had a
lamp. How much are they paying you?
No, it was big mosquito eaters and little ants.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of those.
What
right
bugs
now.
Are we talking about then?
Any bugs. You know, if I don't know what kind of bugs fly, moths.
Oh, they're all LEDs, though. Right?
You think that has to do with
no,
it?
No,
you think
they were attracted to the
60 hertz flicker?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Is there something about like the color of sunlight?
You know,
is it
seeing
like
them fly like at a baseball game, you know, high school, little league?
I do feel like. There
what
has
does it
been
mean?
A decline. Is there like maybe
people only notice the bees, but this is happening to everything.
Are the bugs' eyeballs sensitive to like a wide range of light that LEDs don't produce? Like, is an LED such a narrow band that maybe bugs are like less excited by it?
Maybe, but also, I mean, when's the last time that you've had to clean your car off with bug guts?
I never clean my car.
But when's the last time you've heard a cricket at night?
Holy shit, that's a great point.
Mm-hmm. Something's happening. What's going on? All we see are the bees. Everything else is already gone.
Kevin,
we only
Kevin,
care
all
about
I
the bees.
See.
There's ants everywhere.
You mentioned the crickets.
There are ants, but those are invasive ants, and they're killing.
There's black widows.
There are. I've never seen so many of those before. But I thought those were a myth, and then I moved to California.
Guys, I have some horrible data to share. With Will.
Uh-oh.
Oh, wait, and I'll share it in the safety third call.
What is it?
I actually can't look at it closer.
What happened?
It's a graph comparing the global bee population and the popularity of the safety third podcast.
No
in
way.
In 2021, there was a crossover.
Oh, no. This is horrible.
I don't know what it means.
Wait, the decline of the bee started when we were born.
Huh.
And then slowed down when we started the podcast. Wait, so when we were born, us doing the podcast has slowed down the decline of the bee population. Us being born has accelerated it.
Yes, you're right. Look at that. The graph, there's like a little knee there when we start the podcast.
So technically.
Or when we start our YouTube channels.
If we do more podcasts,
you're right.
Will slow down the decline of the bee population. And if we kill ourselves, it will stop the decline of the bee population.
Oh, man.
Leave a comment down below with which choice we should make.
John, did you get my bee research?
I think you have to realize...
Bee search?
You have to realize, too, that this graph is incredibly accurate and well-researched.
Where did you get the data from?
No comment.
Yeah, I'm wondering how you guys are coming up with these charts so quickly. I know how you do it.
So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up.
I'm horrified that the bee population
is from years of research. What are
and
you talking
the cricket
about?
Population? You okay? I feel like collectively, what if we together, but like mm-hmm. everyone in the world, or maybe if we couldn't agree on the world, we just find some sort of form of local community, like I don't know, like maybe a group of cities, or maybe like a group of cities. And then maybe like a group of those, and we form like a coalition, and then we collectively spend our tax dollars to figure out where the fucking bees went.
Hmm.
What if we made something like that, and we put money into things that seemed important?
Yeah, but how do you prove that it's not corrupt?
That's true. Fuck the bees.
yeah.
Huh?
Can you do it? Okay.
Do what?
I'm going to have to find it again. Oh, my report that I put together about the bugs. And
I want to come up with another graph.
Wait, but is this like actually a problem?
I don't know. I mean, do you know
how... I think this has to be a problem.
Like, if there's no bees to pollinate stuff, do you know how we get more tomatoes?
We're going to have to pay somebody to put on like some sort of like fursuit.
A tomato tickler. They literally have guys that tickle tomatoes.
Yeah. Yes. Wait, no. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, keep telling me. I'm gonna close my eyes. What do they wear?
I think they wear like a big woven hat. I think they wear like a sweater because it's pretty hot outside.
No, that's not what I want. What if we just take all the furries, we cover them in pollen?
Wait, John, bring my thing back.
You know what I think is dumb?
This is your research?
Yeah,
I have a question. I just looked in this very quickly. I think pollination is stupid.
Yeah, are you a pollination denier?
Can you zoom in, John?
Yeah, what are we looking at here, Kevin?
There's a lot of information here.
Why have fireflies seem to have oh my god. Why have fireflies seem to have vanished from the woods where I've seen them? Am I insane or is that sentence awful?
I found that on Quora.
Okay, that explains that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the bus. Okay, wait. When people drove buses like that, they also smoked cigarettes, right?
Yeah.
And cigarettes have declined.
Hmm.
So
we're getting healthier.
Maybe there's something there. Maybe we need to smoke more cigarettes. What is this one with the lady with the hat?
She's just some entomologist woman who used to study bugs and care about bugs.
How does this contribute to research about bees?
I'm saying that's what we used to do, and then
we don't do that anymore.
We don't do that anymore.
Okay, so then there's no bugs on the streetlights. I don't think I've ever seen that many bugs. Like that actually looks like a bug apocalypse on the street. It looks like somebody like dropped a bag of dirt from a street lamp. That's way too much. Bugs.
Yeah, that's probably like, you know, the mayflies or something when those all hatch, yeah. Or like cicadas.
Oh, we used to have a lot of June bugs. You know, like dumbest bee.
Dude, they're the stupidest bugs. I can't.
Like they're running around like they got their heads cut off. And there used to be so many June bugs in summer around 4th of July is when I would remember them the most. Yeah, they would swarm.
Yeah.
But they're like bumper cars.
Yeah, they would just like ram into your windows and stuff all the
time.
And
if you left your door open, you would just end up with these things like careening into your house like they've been, you know, they're blackout drunk trying to fly around.
And it's like, oh, maybe they just have brain damage from like hitting stuff so many times.
And now it's just, I see like maybe a couple dozen a year.
Yeah.
Instead of a couple dozen a minute.
Yeah.
No, there's something going on here. And is it weather related? Is it man-made related? Is there any, okay, is there somewhere in the world that the bugs are the
unaffected.
Same.
Yeah. Hmm.
And do people research this or we just don't pay for that kind of research?
I want to say, guess where there's more bugs, California or Florida?
Probably Florida, no?
No way. There's so many more bugs in California.
Mm.
And I wonder if that has to do with like local environmental regulations.
Maybe this is your volatile organic compound bans.
Maybe pesticides too, because I don't know.
But we
like people put pesticides all over their grass in Florida.
Seriously?
They soak the ground in pesticides because they don't want, you can't have a lawn here. There's not enough water. So people don't do that.
Okay.
All the golf courses.
That actually surprised me because they don't even grow anything there. What do they grow in Florida? Nothing? Palm trees?
Yeah, like oranges.
I
don't really think they have strawberries.
Is that the right climate for either of those things?
Well,
Florida
oranges, yeah.
Florida
strawberries.
Ass.
Yeah, they are.
So they're definitely not the right climate.
No, I think it's the right climate. I just think that, I don't know. Orange trees suck.
How do you detect bees? What if we have some sort of bee sensor and we can count bees over time? There's probably so few bees you'd never even see one every day with your bees. Like a camera?
Wait, why do you need... Oh, you're just trying to find bees?
We need bee data. Where does this data come from?
You could speak to a... You could find a biologist. Oh. I'm sure one of them...
You know what? I think we just let the bees be someone else's problem.
Yeah, we're not qualified for this.
That's what everyone says. But wait, I wanted to go back to what I said when I said pollination is stupid.
Okay. I don't think anybody actually believed you.
I'd like to issue a correction.
I just think it's like everyone, you know, I feel like it's pretty well known since you're a kid. You get taught like the bees pollinate things, you know, the other bugs got to move the pollen around.
Yeah.
What?
The tomato ticklers pollinate things.
Exactly. You learn about the tomato ticklers.
Nobody ever talks about the tomato ticklers.
I actually only heard about that right now. But it's like I just the concept that you need like a lot of plants in general, like a huge base. I mean, all pollinating plants require like they depend so heavily on bees and other little bugs to move their pollen around that if anything were to happen to them, they would, a lot of species would just go extinct because they just don't have little bugs to move their pollen. To me, that's a bad system to have your entire survivability dependent.
I disagree. I think, hear me out.
I think those plants are trying to die.
Okay, hear me out. If
wait, they have like one customer and they've built their entire business on one customer.
Yeah, you guys are missing something.
It's
though.
Like
you're
flowers with the flowers the shape of like a hummingbird's beak, so only that one hummingbird can get
exactly.
the nectar.
No, it's self-correcting. It is 100% self-correcting, right? Because if the population of the pollinators goes down too low, the plants will largely die off, which will kill us, humans, which are probably the sole reason that there is a decline in bugs.
Mm-hmm.
Will die before us?
Maybe.
Probably not. What I'm saying is I think the pollination problem will kill us as a society before it kills the bugs completely. And then there'll be a resurgence in trees.
It's like a proxy war.
Yeah.
That the bugs are waging on us through plants.
The bugs have like a lower bottom than we do.
Yeah. Because
like if we lost, you know, I don't know, 90% of our population, I think we would just sort of all die is my guess.
No.
We're too soft nowadays, you know? We need more of that like 1960s.
Dude, that's okay. I'll go underground.
Energy.
I'll go underground like a bug, dude.
Yeah,
I'll be
but
there.
Then there's just you.
I'll be there in the garbage living amongst them.
Among us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that if we kill the pollinators, I think that we'll actually kill ourselves first and then the pollinators will see a resurgence and everything will be fine.
They okay, but outside of outside of
or
human,
they could just like adapt to the 5G or whatever it is that's killing them, you know?
That's true.
The Joe Rogan podcast?
Yeah.
Maybe it's Joe Rogan's long nipples that like skewer them as they fly around.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about
Joe Rogan's
nipples.
I don't know if that's true.
Nigel, what do you think about Joe Rogan's nipples?
I think everybody is entitled to their own nipple style.
I think
And Joe Rogan.
That's.
Has the right to have the nipples he has.
I think it's the safest answer you could have said to not offend anybody.
Even that laugh seems safe.
All right, I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
Speaking of declines, I feel like, am I crazy or is like YouTube sponsor money maybe in AdSense going down? You know, I had somebody texted me the other day. They were like, hey, are you... Your YouTube video sponsor rate's lower than normal. And I was like, uh-oh.
Mine have been like doubling.
Well, are your views going up?
I have no idea. That was supposed to be a joke because that doesn't make any
sense. Well, if anyone said that and I was going to
believe sounds like a skill. Sounds like a skill issue, right, Nigel?
I purposely just said mine have been doubling. That doesn't mean anything.
I don't ask Kevin because he doesn't make videos anymore, so he wouldn't know.
I'm making 2 shorts right now, and it was a good rate. So
yeah, but not this is YouTube videos, not shorts. That also is.
I have an offer from Odoo to make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A normal rate or lower?
Yeah. I don't know. I'll have to check.
I mean, what I've heard.
I think it was normal.
Kind of. Is that I do think the rates for big videos has gone down. because a lot of advertisers, I think, are finding that you don't necessarily get a better return because when, I mean, if you, let's say, I don't know, you're Mr. Beast and you have a video, most of the people watching don't care about him at all. So it's kind of like there are a lot of them are kind of meaningless views. It's borderline like just putting up a billboard, whereas they're paying better CPMs for smaller creators. They're realizing that if they took like if they take $50,000 and pay 50 creators $1,000 for the equivalent views that they could pay one creator that 50,000 for like, you know, the total 50 amount
times the views.
50 times the views. They actually get a better return. So what I've heard is they're kind of like targeting smaller creators or giving bigger creators a lower rate. That's a trend that I kind of have heard of.
That makes sense. I've heard that too. That seems actually pretty good advice for anyone trying to run ads. All right. Well, that's exciting. I think I definitely.
So when you're growing a channel, you have that to look forward to. You get diminishing returns.
Yeah, but you get more returns earlier, maybe.
Yeah, but then it just tapers off and you hope it tapers off and it doesn't become a parabola.
Maybe the lesson the hope is to not undervalue yourself, even if you're not a huge channel. Because like even me as a small channel, I have more value to a brand than I might think.
I know that when I started, man, I got ripped off on so many ad spots.
Yeah.
Bastard.
It's bad.
Okay, so in a couple of weeks, we're shooting, I guess this kind of ties into it, actually. It's like, what's everything in my head right now? We're shooting our, like, show for Open Sauce to, like, fundraise for Open Sauce.
Yeah, it's a gamble. It's a bet.
Yeah, it's a bet of, like, if we can make a show and then people pay to see the show because it's good, because we did a good job.
Yeah.
Then that raises money for Open Sauce. And then they also, we're trying to do more, like, because we did all the streaming stuff last year. Like, or we like, not streaming, but we like the streaming service where we like recorded the panels from Open Sauce and we put them on to our website.
Okay, but this year you're trying to do like an actual like full live streaming event where it's like you're getting like the panels, you're having people like walk around and do interviews with all the people, like you get to see the exhibits.
Because I was surprised
it's like you're there is the idea, right?
Right. I was really surprised that people wanted to like see it virtually, because I've always been, you know, I don't know, like I've seen some of the other virtual event shows and they kind of just like have a camera set up filming a stage and it's like that's kind of boring.
Yeah.
And so I thought we could do a way better job because there's more interest than I thought there was. And then at the same time, like, you know, the event with everything that's happening right now is going to be harder to run. It's just going to be as hard to run as it has been every year. You know, from like every perspective. And so I'm like, what if we try to then do more of the virtual version of it?
Okay.
And then shoot shows to kind of like, I don't know, match the like the energy of the event where it's like this fun social environment.
Yeah.
Like, that's my whole idea.
I mean, I think it makes sense considering going to the event is kind of brutal for, I would say, most people in the sense of the fact, just the moment you have to travel and if it's not by car and it's overnight, the expenses just go up. So it's like, the ticket price could be free, but if someone's like, well, I got to fly across the country, stay for 3 days, maybe take some time off work. I guess it's over the weekend, but still, if you work on the weekend, it's like, still
Friday. You take Friday and Monday off.
Yeah. Like, it's still a lot.
Easily even like $1,500, right?
Exactly. Like, the event price is irrelevant compared to the hotels and the travel and the food you're paying for. So I feel like a lot of people still do it. And like, obviously, you know, we're very grateful for that support. But I find like a lot of the people that I saw at Open Sauce, a lot of people flew in, but I feel like definitely like more local people, it's so much easier. Mm-hmm. Like if you're just in, one guy spoke to you, he's just like, oh yeah, I was in San Francisco and I live here. And someone said, hey, you should check out the event. So he's like, I just bought a ticket and walked over.
Yeah. Cause I hadn't really thought about that. because a lot of I think over 50% of the tickets are like local people.
Yeah.
In the Bay Area, which makes sense because like that is
so easy,
huge burden. Having to, you know, because like the ticket actually ends up being like the most inexpensive part of the whole ordeal.
It is.
Yeah, like, it's the hotel and the you know, transportation.
And hotels are expensive.
Yeah.
So it's like the flight, hotel, and then food for the weekend. And so I'm like, how do we sort of bypass that problem? Especially now, too. I think, you know, there's so much like job uncertainty.
Yeah. You don't know if you know, spending $1,000 is a good idea.
Right. No, I think,
but I definitely,
$1,500 and then, probably plus if you have to buy a flight. Yeah.
And I can see it like as, you know, just if you had the live stream thing where it's, you know, there's like one host kind of, I don't know if it's you, I doubt it's you because you're busy, but it's like,
I had
there's someone
kind of
going
like,
around the floor doing stuff, but you can like check out the stages and it's kind of this interactive thing. It's like that to, I think a lot of people would be like, oh, I could pay, you know, plane ticket, all this stuff. And it's like, or I can pay whatever nominal fee and I get to just chill at home, comfortable, you know, play Xbox and listen to this at the same time.
Right.
So it's like, it's, you know, pretty, there's like a panel. I mean, maybe there's like one channel that's all panels. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
You probably have this all figured out.
No, I mean, not then, like how. I'm just like thinking about.
And then you can like switch, you know, and maybe watch somebody walking around the exhibit. And maybe there's like different people that come in, like, you know, I could do it for like an hour and then Nigel can do it. And like, you're going to look at all of the different.
I did research into
exhibits.
Live streaming, and it turns out there's actually like a couple of like problems with like live.
Mm.
One, it's actually like crazy expensive.
And you also have the stream. Like, if anything happens live, it's live.
Yeah.
You have to build in that delay.
I mean, people do it on Twitch all the time.
Well, so that's what I was going to say. Apparently,
that is true.
A bulk of the money that Twitch loses is empty live streams.
Oh, wow.
Because apparently it actually starts entering into sort of like the cents to dollars per minute for a live stream, like depending on the resolution and whatnot. Like it's, for whatever reason, because it's like real time, it's like...
Oh, I thought you meant like the... hardware costs.
No. It's the transmission. Okay. It's like the service for
from the
doing
server
live
to
video.
People's house.
Yeah, there's something about like the live aspect of it that makes it really, really, really expensive. Like in the tens of thousands of dollars, because it scales depending on how many people it's going out to. And so I was thinking, like the plan right now was to just try to film, like everything that gets filmed, it's like we have like a like a bunch of editors and it just gets like processed in like 30 minutes and uploaded. Cause I like doing some research on some other like talks and shows that do something similar. And I was like, that feels fine. Like I didn't really care about necessarily watching it live.
Uh-huh.
Like that would be good. The original idea was like, how cool would it be to be able to like switch between stages and stuff.
Yeah.
Or to do like a production where you have like a host that's like talking about stuff and you see a little bit of the stage and you see a little bit of the floor and it goes back and forth because you literally can't show everything at the same time because it's all happening at the same time. And that just turned into like way too complicated. And so then the idea was, what if we filmed it like and then real time? So like the switchers, when you're like switching between cameras, a lot of them will like record that stream. Switched, and so you can kind of have it like pre-edited, and then you just like put your title bumper and stuff on it, export it, and just upload it like as fast as possible. And then the other idea, like I like your idea of like going around the floor, because like how do you show the floor with all the exhibits? Because you can't just like film it and then ask the exhibitors to talk. Like you need someone to interview them,
to present it to the viewer.
Yeah, so like what if we, you know, we just
and get, it can't be them.
It can't be them. No, you have to have like a host. And so like what if we have, you know, like a small, like we have like shifts where we have, you know, a group of us that kind of like you do like an hour or 2 hours, you like go around and you like interview each exhibitor for like a minute.
I would like to do that because then it would let me look
see everything.
Without getting
mobbed. Yeah. That's what I was thinking too. Cause like I never really had a ton of time to see everything the past 2 years. But that way you get like an overview of what the exhibits are. You get to like have access to the different stage shows. Because it definitely feels like a lot of travel stuff has kind of shrunk. Even like some of the airlines, you see like the airlines talking about like reduced inventory and whatnot.
Oh yeah. Cutting back on flights.
Yeah. So it's like, how do we make it so that more people can like participate, even if it's more difficult or too expensive to like come out.
I mean, a live stream definitely does help bridge that gap.
Yeah. There's really nothing else. Like,
and then you're thinking like, hey, if they're paying for this,
like how do you make it worth it? Right. Like, how do you, if, you know, if, cause I don't, you know, I think what did Creator Clash charge for the boxing match? Do you remember? It was like $70 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was.
I'm like, that's kind of expensive.
For a live stream?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, it's like a boxing match. It's kind of like high energy. And this is like a little more like,
yeah,
sort of 2 days of like just a constant stream of consciousness.
I definitely think to me the price point has to be lower.
Yeah.
And I think that it's like finding the amount where it's like, it's the crossover between obviously you make money to support the event and you're not just like breaking even, but it's like also just enticing people to actually pay for it. I feel like if it was $70, the average person, like if I had to watch it and it was $70, I'd be like, I'd go in that whole questioning. Do I really want to watch it that much? Mm. Whereas I feel like getting that perfect amount where somebody goes, I mean, like if it was like $10, you would not even really think. You'd be like, oh, $10 and I get like 2 days, but then that's too low. But it's like finding a balance where you feel like, yeah.
Well, you could also just keep putting stuff up on the platform year round and then just charge like a monthly fee for it. You know, like just you could do
content.
Yeah, more content, like random videos, you know?
Oh, that's what you're saying too. Cause it's like a monthly thing you're going for, right? Not.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, I honestly am not 100% sure. I think like that would, if you did, I don't know. I use Fusion and I like pay monthly, even though I probably should just pay yearly cause I use it every month. And so it's like, what's the point?
Yeah,
you do the same thing.
Yeah,
I literally should just go and change the plan to yearly.
I know it's like, oh, I'm only going to use this for a month, and then I'm like, okay, wait, no, this is actually pretty good, and I don't care about the extra $14 that I could save per year if I just bought the year at a time,
right?
Like with ChatGPT,
is it actually only $14?
It's like 1 month or something like that, so it's $20.
And then I was thinking, like, well, if you bought a ticket, right, and you can't literally see everything at OpenSauce, then I feel like it would make sense to then give like access to the like recordings of it. Right. So then you get like, if you like buy a ticket, you can then go and watch the other panels after the event's over. If you wanted to see stuff or there was stuff you missed, or you wanted to like go back and look at an exhibit that like to see the exhibit again.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a lot of ideas. I'm not really sure what exactly.
I think that would be cool. I mean, like we could put some of the Safety Third extras on that platform.
Yeah.
You can do more like, you know, second channel content where it's like, you know, quicker videos or like bring people in, or you can do like big production shows too.
Cause what we're going to do, cause you guys don't know exactly, like we've done a lot of planning to like shoot this show. I don't even,
this is
calling it a show. Is kinda, so you don't know exactly what we're doing, but it's like,
no,
like it's, cause it's supposed to be a secret.
It is. Yeah. I don't know.
Hiding it from both of you guys, but the idea is way too expensive for YouTube, but it's not that expensive. I don't know if that makes any sense. Like I think the goal is to try to shoot like 8 hours of content. So it's like 8 hour long episodes is like the goal. And you can't do that with a YouTube budget.
No. Also, like, where would it go on YouTube?
Yeah, I know.
Like
exactly.
Not your channel. No. Like it doesn't align.
It's like a very weird problem to solve. And I feel, cause I've talked to Michael a bunch too, and he's, like, there's videos that I know we want to do that you, like, can't do because either it's too expensive to do on YouTube and you'll never get, like, it'll never pay for itself, or you'll do it at a cost. Like, the Mall Santa video, right? The For Safety Third. I know you love that. The Mall Santa video. Like, the Mall Santa video was done, like, mostly with favors.
Yeah.
And for fun. And, like, it literally lost money and it was paid for with Patreon dollars.
Yeah.
For Safety Third. And you, like, you can't, like, you cannot do that. I think it got like 500,000 views or something, which, you know, because it's inappropriate too. It probably made like, you know, $2,000 in ad revenue.
Yeah.
And I think the whole thing cost, I think we spent like $5,000 or $6,000 shooting that, which is like dirt cheap for
Seriously.
A show. And you know, with all the extras and the studio space and everything. And so it's like, I think there's a lot of stuff that you just like cannot do on YouTube. You can't do it. You like can't do it.
Or it's like, you know, you want to do the silly video and it's like not quite right for either of your channels.
Right.
They just do some crazy invention.
This, I think, like trying to like make a space where the stuff it makes more sense to do bigger stuff. I don't know.
That's what about smaller stuff?
Yeah, or small and smaller stuff too. Like,
you have to go big or go small.
I think do both. None. Well, you have like the big interesting. No,
I mean, you just can't be in the middle.
Yeah, because then you're just you're in YouTube. Well, YouTube's kind of small too. I don't know. I don't know. I think it's one of those things.
Well, like workshop tours. You mentioned doing those.
Yeah, yeah. I did a test with a couple workshop tours that turned out really well. So I was thinking like that would be fun, going to different YouTubers and filming their workshops and like having them do a tour.
Yeah, that could be its own like channel, like on Netflix. You know, yeah, its own little series. It's like, oh, open source creators workspace tours.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think at the end of the day, we have like realized that like the event itself will probably always be a nonprofit. I'm like, maybe it should just
that's
be
a nice way of saying doesn't make any money. Yeah, we're a nonprofit organization.
Maybe it should just be a nonprofit. and then we try to like, you know, like fund it basically by making content. I don't know. We'll figure something out. Like it works and it will work, but it just sort of like kind of cruises to the finish line.
John, how much time are we at? An hour 30?
Yeah. But yeah. Thank you guys for supporting the event and the Safety Third podcast. If you have any thoughts about what you would want to see from a virtual version of Open Source or content that we couldn't do on YouTube, give us ideas. Where it's going to happen. They're definitely, we're going to do the live version of Open Source this year. It's going to be better than last year, which was, it was kind of just, you know, a last minute idea. And so we slapped it together. We're going to try to make it so that it's more real time so that you can basically watch it during the weekend as it goes. And thanks for supporting Safety Third Patreon. If you're interested
in that,
we love
you guys.
We love you. You pay the bills. You pay John's rent. And that's
and mine
and Kevin's rent. It's enough to let us keep doing this. And if you're interested in exhibiting at Open Source, you can go to the link in the description below and apply to exhibit. If you've done something cool, like doesn't really matter what you want to exhibit. If you are interested in something, if there's some part of your life that's dedicated to some weird like type of contraption, and you have. You've like tried to make it multiple different ways. You're kind of like the Tesla coil version of
yeah.
That. You already have one and you're already like making another one. And you have other ones than that.
Oh, too. I'm just tinkering, you know. I already have this one. I'm just trying to make it better.
Now you need a new one.
You know, there's train guys, plane guys, yeah. Tesla coil guys, Tesla coil tractor guys.
Tesla coil. Yeah, I can't bring my tractor though. It's too expensive to drag it up there. But if you build stuff or have anything weird you want to show off,
we got all kinds of guys.
There's all sorts of guys and gals that are exhibiting in Open Source. So you should just apply. You get in for free. Friday night is a party that is going to be better than last year. We made some mistakes last year that we learned our lesson from, and we won't do that again. And that was, you know, every year you learn. I win nothing. You know that I win nothing, right?
Was there?
Do we want to go over the mistakes?
I don't want to touch it. I didn't notice any mistakes, but
yeah, that was the problem, huh? Yeah, is this Patreon? Do we talk about the mistakes on Patreon instead of publicly spilling our worst nightmares come to
oh,
fruition?
Oh man, was it that bad?
No, I mean some people were very upset, but okay. You know, like I said,
well, tell me the spill the beans.
Don't worry, I didn't walk away with millions of dollars after last year's event, so don't feel too bad.
Spill the tea. Yeah, exactly.
All right, Nigel, say I love you.
Didn't we already say bye?
Oh my god, you are a coward. We love you.
You.
Bye, Nigel.
I love you.
I love you guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cut it now.
I tolerate these guys.
Wait, was that? Wait. You know, I'm just gonna assume that was towards me. The best one was me. All right. See you guys on Patreon. Thanks to everyone who supports us. Links down below.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.